We've actually been talking the last few weeks about kind of resetting our lives with Jesus and the things that are involved in that. And so I guess in a way this sort of fits within that context, because we definitely see our relationships with other people in the body of Christ as a key part of really being where we want to be in our life with God and what's necessary actually to live that life effectively. I think most of us, if you've been around a little while, even though it may be disappointing to you to think this or know this, you realize that you can't grow fully in Christ on your own. That's just the way we're made and the way God has designed our lives and things. We absolutely need other people. And so one of the things we do here is we have small groups to provide a context to give people a chance to meet those people for some good things to happen. And so I'm just going to talk about that a little bit this morning before I give you a chance to go see what's going on. I think I approached the whole thing slightly tongue-in-cheek. I kind of started it out with good reasons not to be in a small group. You know, you have to know I do understand some of the challenges of being together with a small group of people over a period of time. I've been doing this personally my entire Christian life. I've been here 30 years at this church, and I've been in a small group all that time. I've led groups, but probably for the last, 5 to 10 years, I've just been a member of a group and have not led that group. So, hey, if the senior pastor of the church needs to be in a small group and doesn't have to be leading it, you're all in my boat, aren't you? So I was just thinking about, you know, some reasons you might not want to be in a small group. You guys are clever. You'll probably come up with a few others. There is the possibility that your weaknesses, even your sins, might be uncovered, and people will find out about those things, and that's probably scary to most of us. You know, another thing, the group may live up to its name. You'll notice, if you haven't already, one of the names of the group's called Island of Misfit Toys. The terrible thing is, if you go there, you may discover that you actually fit in that group. And you'll go, oh no. This is actually a currently existing group. It's just changing his name, and I've been part of that group. So I think I probably do fit there. Another reason you might not want to go is you probably will encounter strangeness. All kinds, you know, the strangeness of meeting people you don't know, haven't spent any time with. And that can be pretty uncomfortable for some of us. People who are different, maybe even difficult. But I was listening to another pastor's message this week, friend of mine, and he was saying, you know, here's the reality. All of us are difficult to somebody. Everyone, if there's somebody out there thinking, oh no, Palandro's here. So we have to remember that. You know, the strangeness of being in an unfamiliar home. And it seems like these days people are pretty uncomfortable going to somebody's house who they don't even know the people who live there. Of unfamiliar practices, you know, things will happen that are new to you. Like at the Vineyard, a lot of times when we pray for people, we look at you when we're praying. Like I recently at the gym that I work out, the gal who's working the desk had mentioned that she was not feeling very well, and I wasn't thinking, and I just said, well, let me pray for you, and we're this far away, and I'm just looking at her, Lord, and started praying, and I could just see her eyes, you know, kind of going back and forth. That could happen to you. I mean, your eyes might be going back and forth when the person's looking right at you as they pray. You know, there's a good chance that there's going to be unhealthy snacks, things containing sugar and chocolate. The coffee may be caffeinated. All you old people will have to pass on it, you know. You will feel pressure to be there consistently and embarrassed if you're not. And that's probably a big one for people, because people will say that they missed you if you're not there, and you'll hope that they hadn't even noticed you were gone. And so it kind of draws attention to yourself, and you feel like, I guess I better show up on a consistent basis. That could be a downside. It will mess with your previous routine. You'll probably have to eat dinner faster or skip it. Record your favorite TV show. Keep your day clothes on. You know, can't get into your jammies or, you know. Drive your car at night and use your brain after work hours. So it is going to mess with you. And I thought, and you may experience the fear of any one of these things happening on any given week. So those are some things that might discourage you from being part of a group. But I know you guys, you're going to overcome, you know, all those things and take a chance, right? So I thought a few reasons you might be in a small group. And the first one's probably, I mean, it's true, but maybe a little facetious. Small groups are not as bad as what the Apostle Paul experienced. And so I pulled out 1 Corinthians 4, 9 through 13 in the Message translation. It says, it seems to me that God has put us who bear his message on stage in a theater in which no one wants to buy a ticket. We're something everyone stands around and stares at, like an accident in the street. We're the Messiah's misfits. We live in the midst of frailties and uncertainties. We're mostly kicked around. Much of the time, we don't have enough to eat. We wear patched and threadbare clothes. We get doors slammed in our faces, and we pick up odd jobs anywhere we can to eke out a living. We're treated like garbage, potato peelings from the culture's kitchen, and it's not getting any better. I assure you, I've never been in a small group where it's been that bad. And I've been in them for decades. So I hope that alleviates some of your concerns. You know, in small groups, we have the opportunity for friendship. And that's, you know, one of the key things here. But I'll say it's opportunity. We can't guarantee. Small group provides an opportunity for friendship, and friendship creates an opportunity for intimacy, which we're all wanting. We want to know others, and we want to be known by others. And, you know, Proverbs 17:7, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. We need friends. And you know, the research that they do says people don't stay in churches if they don't make friends. It's not enough to experience God. It's not enough to be learning the scripture. We need people in our lives who care about us, and we care about them. And you know, one thing about small group, and it's part of the challenge too, but it's that consistent exposure to the same people. That's why they get to know you. It's easy to go in and out of relationships or just spend a few moments with somebody, and then I can keep my best face on, my best foot forward. But when I'm coming week in and week out, you get to know who I really am, what I'm really like, what I need, and you get to know the good things about me too and what's enjoyable about my life, and the same with you. Small group gives us a chance to give to other people. It's not just about what I get. 1 Corinthians 14, 26, he says, well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given, one will speak in tongues, another will interpret what is said, but everything that is done must strengthen all of you. Say two things about that. We all bring something to the table. It's not like the small group leader does it all or the leaders do it all. We all contribute. We all need to be heard from. We all have our story to tell. We're all learning things from God. We pray for each other. And so when you go, you're not just going for what you can get. You're going for what you can give because other people need you to be there so that they can receive prayer and be known by other people and hear the unique things that God's doing in your life that are good for them. I don't know if I should say this, but as I was reading that text, I thought, for those of you who've never spoken in tongues or it scares the bejeebies out of you, I will say that that is not like a typical thing that goes on in our small group, so please don't get nervous about that. And for those of you who don't even know what I'm talking about, just don't worry about it right now. It's a place where we can experience caring prayer. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know, I remember the first time, it was actually a little different, talking to my sister, Kathy, who lived in New Jersey at the time, and she told me something, and I said, let me pray for you. And just praying for her on the phone, personally, her, after crying, her response was, no one has ever done that for me. It's like, wow, we do that all the time here. We do that all the time. One of the great things about small group is people get to know you, and they're willing to take time with you. And in almost all of our sessions, we have a time where we either break out in smaller groups or share, what do you need? What's going on? And we take time and we pray for each other. And God does stuff, and we feel loved in the process of it too. That's a real benefit of being in a small group. Another benefit is you have people, I put it this way, you have people to rescue you if your ship is sinking. About 2 months ago, Harry used this in a sermon here, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. We don't do that in our small groups either. So, it's a metaphor, you know. In our context, it's a metaphor. Okay. But how can one be warm alone? Think of it as personal warmth of people, you know. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better. For a triple braided cord is not easily broken. You know, come on, all of us have times where things are rough, we're struggling, and the natural tendency is to just disappear, to hide, to run away, or hope, I'll figure it out, it'll be okay, I'll get over it. But you know, when there are people in your life, people who know you, you don't have to worry about just going down because you can't handle it, you don't have what it takes just to take care of yourself by yourself. And there are people who are going to reach out to you. And you know, maybe that scares us a little, that there's somebody who's going to come to me if it looks like my life is messed up. Or if they can tell you are not being yourself. There's something going on. Well, that's what happens when you're friends and you spend time with people. Small groups, a place where there's people like that who can come and say, are you okay? What's going on? Can I help you? The last thing on this part, it's a place where you can develop as a leader. We're always needing leaders. The church needs leaders. And in a small group, as you get to know people and you begin to serve, you have the chance of getting more responsibility and taking greater responsibility for the health of the group and the people and what's happening there. What a great thing to grow leaders. And that's one of the things that happens there. All right, I'm going to have Ruchika come up, and she's just going to tell us briefly on kind of the benefit small group has been to her.
So for those who don't know me, my name is Ruchika, and Jill and Mike asked me to share my experience of life groups here at Vineyard. So just to give you a little bit of background, I first time visited Vineyard for the Good Friday service last year, and I haven't stopped coming since then. So right after I started coming to Vineyard, I joined a life group that multiplied from an existing life group. And if you're really curious, we were called Grace Ninjas. 2013 was particularly a very hard year for me, where I had to face some of my deliberately forgotten hurts and fears. I felt I was led to face those fears. I was pulled in very challenging situations. And on the top of it, I had to take a brave front. It was very, very scary for me. But in all this, I didn't feel all alone. At every step, I felt a very tangible support of my life group. I knew with all of my heart that they are in this with me. I didn't know them very well in terms of time, but I could feel that those friendships are real, they're genuine. Looking back, I couldn't even have taken some of those actions that required immense courage if I didn't have the support of my life group. With my group, I could be my serious self, I could be goofy, I could totally be me. I knew I was accepted. We prayed together, laughed together. I could talk nonstop about Anne of Green Gables if I wanted to. I felt I met my kindred spirits. To conclude, I believe, strongly believe, that God gives us families in two ways, one biological and one spiritual. And if you have not found your spiritual family yet, a life group is a great opportunity to find one. And we have so many great groups to pick from. I have my favorites. I hope and pray that you will find your spiritual family here.
Thank you. Right, thank you, Nikita. Thank you. Hey, so look, I know that there's a temptation to just kind of, hey, we're getting out early, man. Let's go have a late, you know, breakfast. Or, you know, if you have kids in the kids' department, they're not going to be happy if you go pick them up early. You know, so you need to stay and hang out so your kids get to enjoy their friends and the lesson that they're getting today. So I'm going to just pray a blessing over us, and then I'm going to let you go. It'll probably take, you know, 2 minutes or so for the leaders to actually get to their various tables, and I want you to be brave today. I want you to be brave and push yourself to, like, talk to people you may not have known before. Just ask questions. And so all of you who, you don't have to be brave, extend yourself. Talk to people you don't know. If you're already in a group, you know what you're doing, well, then go around and help people who don't. And make them feel more comfortable as they look at the opportunities that are available. And so every group has a brochure at it, sign-up sheet, and there'll be people to explain what it is. So, Lord, just thank you for the life that we have in you. Thank you for the chance to be family and for do this together. I just pray that you show people where you're putting them, Lord, where they should belong in a small group at our church. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, so stand up and mingle and go visit groups.